right, dear Saints. Thanks very much for being with us tonight. I don't know what number this Greek class is, but we've been going for probably about 2.5 years now, maybe 2.25 years on Koine Greek. We've learned some excellent things about the Lord's New Testament Greek, which can be applied. Does anybody know where Chip is tonight? No. All right. Well, Chip put together a really excellent chart on the paradigms of what was that one verb that we had? A very excellent chart that that we can use and look over. Yeah, luo. It's very important to lose. Thanks very much. And it's very important that we learn the endings. There's a lot of memorization goes into this language, of course, and I believe as we've said already, that the more we get accustomed to the New Testament in Greek, the more we look at it, the more we try to read it, the more we study it. It's just becoming accustomed, just like anything else in life. So what we must do, we have our granddaughter Hope here tonight. Her parents are at a reunion, a high school reunion tonight, so we have her. She's a very nice, intelligent young lady. She believes in the Lord, Jesus Christ as her Savior, and, you know, it's kind of interesting to have a 10-year-old around. I'm not used to that, and it's kind of exciting for me and whatever. But it's good to have nice young people, at least for now in the world. So tonight what we're going to do is we'll open up with a word of prayer, of course, because we certainly all need that as living in this place and knowing our Savior as we do and knowing our calling and going through the battle. We certainly need prayer every second of every day. We particularly love all you folks that come here in the Lord. We know what you stand for and what you believe in, and we wholeheartedly love you in that, and we know that you've been faithful to the Lord for many, many years, and that the scriptures tell us, I can't tell you exactly where, but your ministry in him, whatever that might be, he's going to recognize that, and he is going to reward you accordingly. And so we're thankful for that. Amen. And here opening with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, through our head, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, the Son of God, God's shed his blood for us human beings, us being in the sorry state that we are because of the destruction of sin. We thank you for coming here. What an awesome reality that is, that God himself would sacrifice himself for us. That one fact in itself is you know, beyond words, beyond the comprehension of what love is, and in our minds that God would sacrifice himself for his creation. That's incredible. And much more, we have our calling in him. We have all spiritual blessings at his right hand. We have a calling that's hidden God, which cannot be touched by any forces nameable in all of creation. We are going to be manifested in the Son of God. It's sometimes just the contrast of the destruction of sin and what we have in him in glory. The contrast is just so wide of a gulf sometimes it's hard to almost imagine, but we know it's true, and we know that your word is true, and we pray that our hearts might love the Koine Greek in order that we might understand more of the fullness of New Testament scriptures, because in fact, understanding the Koine Greek does bring out much more of what the Holy Spirit meant for us to know. And this, we ask for our minds and hearts and our energies to be opened up to you, and that we might make decisions that are in your towards you, Lord, and not towards ourselves. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, this is the battle plan. This is our battle plan. We are going to go through an excellent chapter, Lesson 8 tonight, on additional prepositions. These prepositions are awesome, no doubt about them. You can see them all the time. As a matter of fact, prepositions are really important in our calling. Epigenosko, and twice epiuranios, actually, one preposition there that is very important in our calling. So these prepositions are really important to know and to understand, and I think we can get much joy out of understanding these. So we're going to go through lesson 8 tonight. Next time we're going to go through lesson 9, personal pronouns. Then if we get through that, we're going to go through lesson 10. Let me hold on a second. Let me see what that is. Lesson 10 would be the perfect and pluperfect active indicative. So we would have gone through 6 of the 7 tenses, actually. And 6 tenses are what we're going to learn. And then we're going to go through lesson 11, which is in fact demonstrative pronouns. Okay. Once we get through those lessons, then we're going to backtrack. We're going to go back, and I'm going to ask you, hey, guy, I want to go over again. And so we got 9, 10, and 11 to get through. And then we're going to go back over the next number of months, and we're going to do some review. I think that what we really haven't done as thoroughly as I want to myself is a vocabulary. That is to say, going all through all of the vocabulary that's been presented, and just go over it, say it out loud, say what it means. And so then you'll have this in your minds as you study, the New Testament. And, the more repetition, the better. And then these Greek forms will come to your mind as you study them. And as we do know, and as you guys have found out, guys and gals, have found out, is that a look into the Koine brings out a more fuller explanation of what God the Holy Spirit has for us. In actuality, we have translations, we have English translations, and if you don't get into the original language, you have to rely on what these translators did, specifically back in 1611, old English translators that worked for King James. Even though the King James Version is awesome, there are a number of just blatant mistakes there. In the text as far as the Koine Greek is concerned. And we're not going to belabor ourselves with proving that out, that we know. But we do know that we have the wherewithal, we have the brains, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the text to go into an understanding more of God's New Testament through the Koine Greek. So we are obliged to do so if we choose so. So let's turn to lesson number 8, all right, in our text, okay? This I'll say this again. This is the best Koine text I've ever seen in my lifetime. I've been subject to some. I took classical Greek in college, and this text that we have is a real good one because it is directly, totally, and solely towards learning the New Testament scriptures, which is awesome. All right. So turning to page 58 in your text, lesson number 8, we know that it's additional prepositions. That's what we're going to study about tonight, okay? And then as we've said always, you have to do your own homework. You have to learn your own charts, your own paradigms, your own meanings. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. We've certainly hammered that point to death. So on page 58, it states, because prepositions are involved in exegesis, well, what is this? It's a fancy way of saying critical or important interpretation of the scriptures. So whenever I see the word exegesis, it's not a light thing. It's a very important thing, because exegesis means to me very critical interpretation of God's word. And I believe that that's what Professor Black means too. So, prepositions are involved in the critical interpretation of the scriptures at numerous points, and understanding of their nature and function, therefore, is essential. All right? Some mention has already been made of Koine Greek prepositions. This lesson introduces several additional prepositions that occur frequently in the Koine Greek New Testament. All right, so going down to short lesson 58, it says prepositions with two or three cases. Well, that would automatically run us back to page 27. What is a case? Go back to page 27. We're going to deal with four major cases. We have to learn four major cases. We've gone over this at least a dozen times, but let's go over them again because we have to understand what our learning of the four major cases. Let's just say of the the four cases that we need to know. We need to know these cases in order for us to understand, you know, these prepositions and what cases they're in. So looking on page 27, we remember that we have case, the genitive case, the dative case, and the accusative case. All right, the four basic cases. The nominative case represents the subject of the sentence. The genitive case represents the possessor of something in a Koine Greek sentence. The dative case represents the indirect object in a Koine Greek phrase or sentence. And the accusative case represents the direct object. And, specifically tonight we're going to be looking at the genitive case, the dative case, and the accusative case, the possessor case, the indirect object case, and the direct object case, and concerning these prepositions, okay? That should make sense to you. So you should be able to say, if somebody says, hey, what's the nominative case there, Doherty? You should say, well, that's the case that represents the subject of the sentence. If somebody says, hey, Tony, what's the accusative case? You should say, well, that's the case in the Koine Greek that deals with the direct object. And you know, and thereon, I'm not picking on you, but you should know these cases, bam, 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 just like that. So then when we go back to page 58, we notice that it states under short lesson 58, it says, lesson 5 introduced four of the most common Koine Greek prepositions, apa, eis, ek, and en. Okay, let's turn 37 and 38, all right? So we already have been confronted with four of them, four of the Koine Greek prepositions, all right? Let's turn back to page 37 and 38, all right? So let's go there. Pages 37, okay, and just for review, we can read that under short lesson number 40 there on page 37. We're going to read this, so we're going to be moving through this material. I have about 40 minutes here, so, you know, but actually if I went over that, you guys are going to hang around anyway because you should and because the Lord wants you to, and if you don't, well, you're going to have some problems. But that's, you know, between you and Him. So it states on page 37, under short lesson 40, it says, a preposition is a word or a form used with a noun or a pronoun in order to clarify the relationship of the noun to some other word in the Koine Greek sentence, as in, I go into the church. Into is the preposition there. Prepositions are always located before the noun, hence the name preposition. In English, the noun or pronoun is always in the accusative case. An accusative, if we look back to what we know in the Koine, that in the Koine that would be the direct object. Though it is only with pronouns that there is any difference in form. We say about her, not about she. All right. In Koine Greek, numerous prepositions take a single case, but others take two or even three cases. That's what we're going to study about tonight in Lesson 8. In addition, most prepositions have both a core meaning, which is a general meaning, and a number of extended meanings. This lesson, while lesson number 5, introduced 4 Koine Greek prepositions that are used with a single case, all right, only one case. So this is important to get down into your heads when you're translating the Koine Greek New Testament. Very important, okay? The preposition apa, that's not apo, it's apa, apa, actually, apa, apa, because we have the accent there. You can say it to yourselves or in your head, apa. It's not apo, it's apa. Occurs 645 times in the Koine Greek New Testament, and it always takes the genitive case. What's the genitive case? Well, the genitive case, we know, is the possessor case in a Koine Greek phrase or sentence. The possessor case. So, apa always takes the genitive case. That's interesting. It is most frequently rendered from its core meaning. Away from or of. Example, I received the book from the brother. Apa to ada. Adelphu. Let's read that again. Apa tu Adelphu. Actually, is how you should pronounce that. Actually, it's Adelphu. Let me repeat that again, getting the accents correct. Apa tu Adelphu. And apa there contains the allomorphs ap before a vowel, etc., etc. We're going to get into this rough breathing and that, but we notice that the Koine Greek translation of apa tu Adelphu would be from the brother, okay? And apa is in the genitive case, from the brother. All right, going on to page 38, we have the preposition ice. Used 1,753 times in the Koine Greek New Testament. It always takes the accusative case. While the accusative case we know is the case of the direct object. Ice is most frequently rendered into, to, for, or in. Example, I walked into the house. Ice tan oikon. Ice tan oikon, into the house. Into, ice is in the accusative. Into the house, or into the house being the direct object of that Koine. The next one is ek. This is very important in our calling. Ex Anastasis ekton nekron, which is in Philippians 3:11, I believe. And what I just stated is the out resurrection, out, or ek, from among the dead. Now, I'll just give you a little sidebar here. A Koine Greek translation of the scriptures is called, I just had a brain lesion here, is called an autograph. Autographs are the actual written letters, and a codex, that's what I was trying to look for. A codex is a Greek translation of the originals. Well, one point, when I look at these codexes, or when I look at a Greek translation of the originals, I look at Philippians 3:11, all right, because 60% or 70% of the codexes or the Koine Greek translations have ex Anastasis ton nekron, and then 30-40% of the Koine Greek codexes or translations have ek Anastasis ekton nekron. So what am I saying? What are you saying here, Mike? Well, what I'm saying is this. If you as believers in the mystery think that the out resurrection out from among the dead is different than the out resurrection from the dead, Well, then you're going to have to contend with why do 60% of these Greek translations have the out resurrection from the dead, and why do 30 to 40% have the out resurrection out from among the dead? And see, if you listen to what I'm saying, you're gonna realize that the out resurrection out from among the dead is important, because our resurrection is out from among the dead. It's not an out resurrection from the dead. It's an out resurrection out from among the dead, and that specifies a particular and a special resurrection, which Paul was talking about in Philippians. So what does this all mean? This means this is this means that this little ek, I call it the double ek of Philippians 3:11. If it doesn't have the double ek, I dismiss it personally. If a Greek translation doesn't have the double ek, I'm very leery about it, and I would rather go with a translation, a Greek translation that has the double ek, because the double ek points to a specific resurrection out from among the dead. Now, what's sad about this is that the translation that I've given to you, or I've sent to you, the Byzantine text, I do not believe it has the double ek. But I got these texts at a good price, and so I just wanted to point out to you that even in the Greek New Testament translated translation that I sent to you, that there are ones that are better, and I can point those out to you. And it gets a little bit involved, but they just discovered a new codex called the Chester Beatty Codex of the New Testament that goes all the way back at least to 150 AD. You can get a copy of this, and believe it or not, and amazingly, it has the double ek. So do also a few other Koine Greek translations, which I can tell you about. So I guess this gets a little bit involved, but What am I saying here? I'm saying this. I'm saying that these Koine Greek prepositions are so important that the elimination of just one ek can mean the difference in some tremendous scriptural knowledge. Does that all make sense to you? Did that spiel make sense to you? Well, it does make sense, and it is very important. And I'm only going to be on this planet for a particular amount of time, so that's one that's really important. So we have this ek. Going back to page 38, we have ek. It occurs 915 times, and it always takes the genitive case. It is most frequently rendered out of, from, or by, the out resurrection, out of, or out from the dead, is our resurrection. Example, I went out of the temple, ek to Aeru, let me repeat that, I'm sorry. Ek tu heru. Heru. Ek tu heru. Repeat that, because I finally got it right. Ek tu heru. There's a rough breathing there. Out of the temple. Ek contains the allomorph, ex, before the vowel, etc., etc. Going down to number 4, N. Occurs 2,713 times in the Koine Greek New Testament. So these four prepositions are very important in and amongst themselves. N always takes the dative case. What is the dative case? We know that that is the case of the in direct object. It is most frequently rendered in, within, by, or with, or among. I know there's some controversy of Christ being in you or Christ being among you. I'm not going to go into that, but some people think it's among, because Christ is not Gentiles. Well, you know, I would recommend looking at that further, because Christ is in us. Also, the Holy Spirit is in us. The Spirit that was in Christ is in us. So, we'll go into that later. Example, I got lost in the crowd. Ecto oxlo. Ecto oxlo. Or, I'm sorry, ento. You know, you have to forgive me. Ento oxlo. End is sometimes blah, 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 etc., etc. Ento oxlo is in the crowd. All right, so these prepositions are very important. All right, so let's go back finally now to lesson number 8. And we're going to, you know, I don't know how far we get. I'm not going to be dragging you, you know, till you know, I'll go over a little bit, but not a lot, okay? If we don't get through this, we can always come back. But, you know, without a doubt, as you folks know, we all have our work cut out for us. But, you know, let me just tell you that that learning this material can bring out very, very important morsels, like I pointed out to you, Philippians 3 and 11. Another one is the Koine rendering of our adoption. I'm just going to do this really quickly because it'll give you some zip. It'll give you some zeal as far as, like, let's say, let's turn to Ephesians 1 in your King James Version of the Bible. Just turn there, all right? Just as a little, this is a little aside too, but it's very, very important, okay? Very important. Let's turn to Ephesians 1 in the King James Version, okay? I pointed this out before many times, but this is very, very important. Very important. Ephesians 1:4, it reads in the King James Version, according as he has chosen us out, it's Ephesians 1:4 and 5, according as he has chosen us out in him before the foundation of the world or the overthrow, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Awesome. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. No, 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 no. 10 times, a billion times, no. That is not the adoption of children. It is the sonship, quiothesion. It is the sonship adoption. And the difference between being adopted children and adopted sons is big, 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 big time in the Word of God. I don't even know if children are adopted. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But adopted sons is extremely important to the Almighty. So the blunder, this is one of the big blunders in the English, is that by no means, no way, no how is this children. Why they did this, who knows? But it is sonship adoption, very important. And this is brought out in your Koine Greek, huiothesion. So learning the Greek, there is another one. Ephesians 1:4 and 5. If you know the Koine, you'll get the right translation that the Holy Spirit wants you to have. If you know the Koine, you'll get the correct translation. I believe it's Philippians 3:11. Very, very important scriptures concerning our calling. So I just pointed out to you a couple of major, this is major. These are things that the evil one would keep us from, no doubt about it. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Extremely, extremely poor, poor, poor translation of the Koine Greek there in the English. Very poor. This is what the evil one would have, because it takes away awesome glory from what the Lord really wanted you to have. So just in those two points alone should give you all of the credence or all of the boost that you need to delve into the Koine right there in your own calling, folks, okay? That's why I pointed them out. So let's go on. Things are very important, and these things I have to mention because these are the actual realities of pointing out of getting into the Koine. This isn't haphazard material that isn't going to do you any good. It's material that is going to make fuller your calling. And this is resurrection power. And this is the power that you need to live, by the way. I don't do very well walking in my own power. Something happened here on the screen. I have no idea what it is. But we'll move on. On page 58, several prepositions in the Koine Greek New Testament can be used with two or even three cases. The major prepositions of this type are set forth in this chapter here, together with the brief phrases to assist in remembering their core meanings. Now, we looked at four prepositions that only had one case associated with them. We're going to look at other prepositions that have more than one case. This is very important in your translation abilities. All right? Prepositions with two cases. Dia, that's how that's pronounced. Dia. It's according to two cases. The genitive and the accusative case. When dia is in the genitive case, as in diates geis, it is in the genitive. Diates geis. Pronounce that. Diates geis. Say it again. Diates geis. That means through the earth. In the accusative, it means dia means because of. In the accusative. Dia tan kurian. Say that again. Dia tan kurian. Say it again. Dia tan kurian. That means because of the Lord. A little blip underneath there stating, dia with the genitive is frequently used with the passive verb to express intermediate agency or by. All right, but mainly dia in the genitive means through, and dia in the accusative case means because of. Now, this might be a little boring, but really it's not. This study tonight is awesome, especially when we get over to page 60. And it's really awesome for you guys to get these prepositions down, because it will help you big, big, big time in the Greek, Koine Greek New Testament. Kata, or kata, actually. We have dia, and we have kata. That's how it's correctly pronounced. Kata. In the genitive, kata is in the genitive and the accusative, just as dia was in the genitive and accusative. Kata in the genitive means against. Kata tu namu. Kata tu namu. Kata tu namu means against the law. Kata in the accusative, and you'll see this at the heading of your Koine Greek New Testament, means according to. Like, you'll look at your Greek New Testament, and it'll say on the top of one of the Gospels, it'll say kata markan, kata markan, kata markan, and that means the Gospel or the good message according to Mark. And you'll see that in the heading of your Greek New Testament above all the letters. So kata in the accusative means according to. Kata markan means according to Mark. A common New Testament idiom is kath hemeron. Kath hemeron, or it means daily. That's just a little sidebar there. Going down to number 3 on page 59, meta. It occurs 467 times in the Koine Greek New Testament. So, all of these occurrences, I think what Dr. Black is trying to point out here, is how many times these occur for you to get them down in your translation. And you can translate, you will translate eventually correctly if you haven't already. If you do it a little bit, great, just do it. Just kick. Don't worry about kicking, just kick. Meta, it's in the genitive and the accusative, just like kata and just like dia. Meta, when it's in the genitive, it means with. An example of that is ha, or meta tu kuriu. Meta tu kuriu. metta to koryu with the Lord. That's very important, of course. When metta is in the accusative, or in the case of the direct object, it's metta thanatan, metta thanatan, metta thanatan, and that's after death. So metta with the genitive is, means with. Metta in the accusative means, with the accusative case, it means after. And you'll notice that, you know, in your identification of cases, you can use prepositions to identify cases. That is to say this. What am I saying? As, you know, as we learn the Koine nouns and their case and their number and their tense, and we learn Koine Greek verbs and their tense. I hope I said that right. Actually, it's like chess. We'll be able, if we recognize one item in the phrase, it might help us to understand another item in the phrase, like a preposition modifying a noun. If we can understand what the preposition is, we can understand the case of the noun. I won't be labeled that. We'll get into that later, rather than be too confusing. But what, if you understand what I'm saying, is if you can identify particular elements in a Koine Greek sentence, it will help you understand the other elements in the sentence. Just like understanding how a pawn moves, or how a rook moves, or how a queen moves in chess helps you understand the game of chess, right? Yes, you cannot deny that. There's no argument against that. And I think that that's how the Koine works too. You understand particular elements, you understand more of the game. Correct, thank you. I'm glad you agreed with me. You have no choice anyway. Okay, going down to the preposition in number four, peri. Peri, it occurs 331 times. In the genitive, peri means about, as in the example, peri tu euangelion. Peri tu euangelion. And it's about the gospel, or I don't like the word gospel myself, about the good message, because there are many good messages. Peri tu euangelion. Peri tu euangeliou, actually, because it's in the genitive. Tu euangeliou. Tu euangeliou, actually. Peri tu euangeliou is about the good message. In the accusative, peri means around. That's interesting. Peri tain thalassan. Peri tain thalassan means around the sea. Moving down, huper. Huper. It means for in the genitive, and it means above in the accusative. For in the genitive, above in the accusative. So in the genitive, huper hamartion. Let me say it again, I got it wrong. Huper, there's rough breathing above the upsilon there. And there's also rough breathing above the alpha there. So it's huper humartion. Huper huper hamartion. Say it again, correctly this time. Huper hamartion means four sins. Huper. And the accusative is above. Huper tain gain. I got that one right. Huper tain gain means above the earth. Now, I'm telling you that as you learn these, you're going to be happy, because you're going to read your Koine Greek text, and you're going to know what you're reading. Okay. Hupa. It's not hupo. It's the next one at number six. Hupa. Hupa. In the genitive, it means by. As in, hupa tu koryu. Hupa tu koryu. It means by the Lord. In the accusative, it means under. As in, Hupa Tain Gain means under the earth. Hupa Tain Gain, under the earth. So we notice that the prepositions going back to one, dia, it's in the genitive and accusative. Kata, it's in the genitive and the accusative. Metta is in the genitive and the accusative. Peri is in the genitive and the accusative. Huper is in the genitive and accusative. And hupa is in the genitive and accusative. So you could look at the prepositions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and what they are, and note that they're in two cases, the genitive and the accusative. Now, you know, again, this is into your head, getting used to it. It's like going out and shooting if you're a marksman. Well, what do a lot of marksmen do? Well, they shoot. It's like Ronnie said today, that gun being the extension of your body. Shoot. If you're a martial arts guy, you kick your brains out. And after a while, the kicking and the shooting, they become so monotonous, you just kick, you shoot. And the same thing with this. You go over it and over it and over it to the point where it's boring. You go, yeah, I know that. Quit hassling. I know how to kick. I know how to shoot. I know what these prepositions are. And it gets to the point where you know them so well that they become sickening to you, but in a great way. All right. Prepositions with three cases, no less. We need that, right? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to get through page 59, and then we're going to look at the diagram on page 60, and that's as far as we're going to get today, because we can resume this next time with pages 59. Oh, next time I'll go over page 60, 61, and 62 and 63, okay? So I guess we're going to be spending a little bit more time in these lessons than I thought, but that's okay. We do have time, but we don't. Ronnie isn't getting any younger, and neither is Gary. So, you know, we can go over these, but you know, I'm gonna be 57 in a few days, and this is what the Lord's telling me. Don't go there. Thanks, Dirty. The Lord's telling me this. The Lord's saying, hey man, you know, like at best, maybe I got 20 or 30 years left. Well, okay, what am I going to do with them? So every day is important. I'm telling you this. You could say, hey, shut your face, Mike, okay. But what I'm saying, the Lord is telling me that, hey, you got to make the most of your time anymore, Mike. You can't be diddling and dallying with your time anymore. It's valuable. Redeeming the times, buying them out. So, you know, I'm not going to say too much more about that. But the Lord is telling me, Mike here, Mikey, that Mike, your time, Mike, you never know when you're going to go. You never know what's going on. You know, I promised you 70. If you go 80 or 90, that's a benefit and a bonus. But you better make the most of your time. So I won't hammer that anymore. Physicians with three cases, page 59. Very important one to us. Epi. It's in the genitive, dative, or accusative case. As in the genitive, it means upon. In the dative, it means upon. And in the accusative, it means upon. The point of it is whether or not the noun that it's modifying is in the genitive, dative, or accusative. That's important because, like I said before, if epi is in the genitive, well then as in the example here, epigeis, well it could mean that the earth is in the genitive. In the dative case, epigei is upon the earth, but it's in the dative. That means that the earth is the indirect object in that phrase. Epi in the accusative, it still means upon. Epigein, but it's where the earth is the direct object in that phrase. Do you understand what I'm saying? Through piecing this all together like chess, you can figure out if a noun, according to the preposition, is in the genitive, dative, or accusative. You can figure out whether the noun in the sentence is in the genitive, or whether it's the indirect object, or whether it's the direct object. Now, that's very important. A lot of brain work, yeah. But after a while, bing, 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 it'll be more automatic, 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 automatic. You know, you just have to, you know, if you're going to do the crime, you have to do the time. And so, you know, if you're going to get the benefits, you're going to have to do the time. You're going to have to kick. You're going to have to kick, kick, kick. You're going to have to shoot, shoot, shoot. You're going to have to do, do, do. All right. Then it goes on to say, interestingly, that epi in the New Testament, on page 59, the distinction between the uses of epi with various cases has become blurred. Whatever that, I wouldn't even bother putting that in your brains. We're going to say, no, it hasn't there, Dr. Black, because we know the mystery. All right? We might know better than you, all right? So, amen. So, let's look at para. Para. It's, para is in the genitive, dative, and accusative, just like epi was. Para means from, as in para tu theu. Para tu theu. Para tu theu. From God. In the dative, it means with. Para to curio. Para to curio. Means with the Lord. Or para could mean beside, as in para tain thalassan. Para tain thalassan, beside the sea. Now, I don't have to tell you folks that just looking at these phrases here, you know, like with the Lord, after death, about the gospel, around the sea, for sins, above the earth, by the Lord, under the earth, upon the earth, from God, beside the sea, are very, very important. You know, because you guys know the scriptures, and you know that all of these short phrases would be very important if you were translating the Word of God out of the Koine, right? So, I don't have to belabor that. I'm just pounding that into your brains some more. Now, turn to page 60. And I would recommend that we're gonna go over this chart here, or this diagram, and then we're going to end for today on page 60. I would recommend that all of you guys and gals draw this and write it down and look at it, because if you write it, you know, it's a hand-eye coordination thing. If you write it, you're actually doing something. You know, you're doing. You're actually writing it down. And then if you're not worried about what the kids or grandkids are doing in the next room, or what your wife's making for dinner while you're writing this down, or how you're going to work on your car, or how you're going to reload your bullets like me, or whatever, if you concentrate, see, I'd recommend, and I'm as much a failure as any of you, I'd recommend getting in a quiet room when you do your study in the Koine. Not where, you know, you got, you know, three grandchildren running around going, pa, 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 or who knows what you're doing over there, wherever you're at. Get down where your brain can be concentrating on, like, let's say this diagram with no noise. That's important, really, because that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, my brain can fly off into another tangent in a second. So if anybody is guilty of that, I am. So concentrate on this, and you're going to get benefits. So let's look at this awesome diagram of the prepositions on page 60. Draw this out, write it down. All right, what I notice about this is I'm going to go through this like in a particular fashion. Look at the top of the circle, and you have huper there. Huper. Huper, right? In the accusative. Huper in the accusative means over. So, what I did is I put a number one there. Because if you look under the circle, you have hupa in under. Okay? Huper, over. Hupa, under. Huper, hupa. Huper, hupa. Those, in my mind, both go together. Okay, you have huper in the accusative, over. Hupa in the accusative, under. Huper, hupa. They go together. So I kind of put them together with, like, putting one by them. Then you go totally above the circle, and you have ana. In the, plus the accusative, it means up, ana. You go under, way under the circle, you have kata in the genitive, and it means down. Ana in the accusative, up. Kata in the genitive, down. Up, down, up, down. Over, under, up, down. Over, under, up, down. Huper, hupa. Ana, kata. Like that. So, huper and hupa go together in the sense that one is over, one is under. Ana and kata go together in the sense one is up, one is down. Just the opposites, right? Great. Then you go to epi. And you have, we know that epi is in the genitive, dative, or accusative. And it means upon. All right? I put a 3 by that one. And then I went to the left side of the circle where you have para. And it means beside. Upon, beside. Upon, beside. Upon, beside. You have over, under, up, down, upon, beside. Alright? So we have epi, or epi, upon, and you have para, beside. Epi, upon, para, beside. Okay, I put a number 3 by those. Alright? And then I put just singular numbers when you go to ice. I put 4 on that, I put 5 on pras, and I put 6 on dia. Alright? Now, you don't have to do this. This is just a way of me remembering them. Because certainly, when you have up, you have down. When you have over, you have under. When you have upon, you might have beside. That's a little ambiguous, but that's okay. And then you have, I don't know. You could, when you have ice, you have ek. Okay, so let's look at those. You have ice in the accusative, it means into. And then you have, it means out of. Well, that's cool. That's number 4. That, just to distinguish them. You don't have to put those numbers on there. It's just, I'm making a point in how to remember this, all right? Then you have pras. It's not pros. It's pras. And, in the accusative, it means to. And then in the middle of the circle, you have n in the dative. It means in. And then you have apa in the genitive, means from. So if you learn pras, means to, towards, to the circle, then you have n, which means in, and you have apa, meaning from. So you have to, in, from. To, in, from. Pras, in, apa, apa. Pras, in, apa. Pras, to, and in, apa, from. And, that might help to learn these. I'm not saying it will. I'm saying that that's how I'm going to attack it myself. Then you have number 6, dia. In the genitive, it means through, all the way through the circle. So what I would recommend is that you look at this diagram and you look at all the prepositions here and you write this out, really. Write this out. It'll be a cool thing to do. I'm going to write it out and I'm going to consider myself cool to do it. Because I can say, hey, this is a really important diagram that I have to get down in order for me to remember the prepositions of the Koine Greek, and it's a good thing to understand. And listen, I have these thoughts. When I came to know the mystery when I was 20 years old, I had no idea about these things. I had no idea really at all about the Koine Greek, and I had really no idea about how important it was until me when I was 40, all right, 40, 45. I didn't hear much about, teaching at all about the Koine. Every so often, Oscar Baker or a speaker would mention the Koine. A form or a word here and there, and you would kind of like blow it off because, that's too tough for me. Well, now I realize that the Koine should be taught right along with our calling because it's really important. It really is. I'm not condemning anybody at all. I'm just saying that it took me about 25 years to realize how important it is, and we're getting the realization of that now. So what I'm saying to you is I'm saying that we're blessed. I'm saying that we're all blessed in knowing and understanding how important the Koine is to our calling, to our resurrection, to the distinction of the callings in the scriptures, and many, many other things. The working of God, how he wants to explain callings, up, down, over, under, all of these are really important facts in the scriptures. So I'm just saying, we're blessed. I realize, bam-o, I have this thought in my mind, wham-o, it hits my mind. Man, look at how important this is, and in knowing our calling and the scriptures of the Lord. So with that, I'm going to end tonight, and we're going to come back to page 60, 61, 62, and 63 next time. And, again, we got a conference coming up. I'm going to have to look into when we can have the next Coin 8 class. What is the conference? What is that, the 18th or something? I mean, I'm going to be studying for that. That's no excuse, but probably what's going to happen is we're going to have to have the next Coin 8 class probably in about a month, probably at the end of October again, all right? Because we're going to go to Phoenix there. I think it's the middle of October, if I'm not incorrect. So you can pretty much plan on here. Let me see, because I really want to get on this October 27th. Maybe might be a good date, October 27th for the next Coin 8 class. That's the fourth Saturday in October, and I'm going to try to accelerate this as much as possible. Yeah, thank you, Doherty. 19, 20, and 21 is the conference out there in Phoenix. And then when we get back, I want to get through up to lesson 12. And then I'm going to ask you folks, whatever review you want to do, we'll take a vote on it, and we'll go over the first 12 lessons, take a vote on it, and we'll go over things, okay? I hope that sounds all right to you. And then we'll try to hammer these things into our brains, and we'll go on from there. And then, let's say it would have taken us 2.5 years to get through half of this book, at least. Well, then figure it's going to take us another 2.5 years probably to get through this whole book. So we'll have spent 5 years in this text, but we'll have gotten through 24 to 26 lessons. And then, let me tell you, you guys have gotten, let me tell you, I took classical Greek in college. I took a year and a half of it, I got an A- in it for a year and a half, and I didn't nearly learn anything at all concerning the scriptures compared to what we've been over. So I don't know what that tells you, but I'm telling you that you have a gold mine here. That's what I'm telling you. And so with that, we'll end for tonight. We'll take any questions, any comments. I'm open to any questions, any comments at any time. You're not going to hurt me no matter what you say to me. So let's end with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are not really aware of how much we are blessed in the Son at your right hand. We do know that your Word of God, which is the very Word of God, has been protected for our learning, for our calling, and our short periods of time on this planet, which are in relation to the universe, are not even known. Our lives here are 40, 50, 60, 80, 90 years compared to history. They're not even real. And in the Lord, they're tremendously real. And as far as timelessness, as far as our wicked one, the wicked one, our enemy is concerned, we are nothing. But in the Lord, we are everything. And so we thank you for knowing this, and we pray that that you would enlighten our minds and our hearts to what you would have for us. Continuing knowledge, the epigenosis, the full knowledge in the Father, through the Son, and with indwelling Holy Spirit. We pray that in our short time that we have, that you would enlighten us as to your further truth, so that we might be pleasurable unto you, dear Heavenly Father, and that we might be vessels of honor, according to 2 Timothy. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, our head, we pray, amen.